Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Metzia Kof Yud Zayin. We are holding 14 lines off the top of the Amid, Rabbi Yossi Eimer, Hatachtoin Noisin Esatikra. So we have a landlord on the main floor with his tenant up on the second floor. The ceiling slash floor between the two floors is broken, is damaged. Who must pay for it? Tanakama says, well, the landlord must fix the entire thing. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it depends. The tikra portion, the lower portion of that floor material, which is called tikra, the beams, the joists, which provide support for that floor, that's the landlord's responsibility. But the ma'aziva, some sort of coating on top of those beams, which make for a smooth floor up on the second floor. So the flooring material, that's upon the tenant to provide. Now, my tikra, how exactly do we define what is considered tikra? Rabbi Yossi Brachanina Omar Kinim Usnoin, some sort of wooden structural material which holds up the floor. Ustini, that was his name, he was a Talmud of Rish Lakish, he quotes Rish Lakish, Omar Pshema Lakish, Levachim, some sort of planks. There really is no halachic dispute, just a matter of what they would use for construction material in each in their locales, right? Marki Asrei, each one was simply describing what went on in his district. There was a story, Hanubi Trey, two people, the Havu Dairi, who were living together in the same structure, Chad Eloi, Chatatoi, one on the second floor, one down below. Ifchis Maziva. So the Maziva, which is the flooring material above the joists, it was damaged. And it cracked open. Kimoshi Maya Eloi. So what happened when the upper fellow would wash his hands? Where would the water trickle down? Huzli Umaski Latatoi. They would flow down below and cause the fellow down there damage. Who must pay for this? He says, "Ha'elyon mesaken." The fellow on top must repair it. Rabbi Loi, Mishum Rabchia, Bar Yesi, Amar, no. Ha'tachton mesaken. The fellow below, he should repair it if he wants to protect himself from the leak. V'si maneich. And in order to actually remember who said what, we have a pasuk in Bereishis Lamedtes. V'Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim, going on Yosef Atzati. He was taken out to Mitzrayim. Rashi says, the targum of Hurad is Ischas, he was taken down. So, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yossi, which is similar to Yosef, he says, Ischas, go down and send the bill to the main floor resident. Says the Gemara, perhaps this can tie in to the Machlekes in our Mishnah, which the Gemara now presumes is tied into this discussion. Why would Tanakama say that the fellow living on the main floor must pay for the entire ceiling material that got damaged? That's because he has to protect himself from any leakage. It's his problem. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, well, the actual structure, of course, that's the landlord's responsibility, but the added coating on top, which is meant to protect from leaks, to make that waterproofing effective, well, that's the upper fellow's responsibility. Says the Gemara, Lema, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, this discussion between the Amiroim, the Plukta, the Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbanu Kamiflugi, corresponds to the Machlekes in our Mishnah as well, as follows. Rabbi Yossi says that the tenant upstairs has to do the waterproofing, because he holds that when a fellow is perpetrating, he is causing others damage, he has to prevent that damage. It's your responsibility. He must distance himself and his harmful activities from his potential victim. So he has to pay for that waterproofing. And the Chachamim who say no, they disagree. The landlord, the fellow on bottom, he must waterproof his ceiling because Kasavar, he holds Ala Nizak. When there's an issue and a fellow is susceptible to damage, he must protect himself. So he should waterproof his ceiling to prevent water from flowing in. Says the Gemara v'tisbro, Rabbi Yosef Rabbanon, leaning in Zochin Pligi. Can you even suggest that the Machlekes in our Mishnah revolves around this question of who has to, do the act? Who has to step up to the plate? Is it the Mazik or the Nizik? No, but if Chashaminilu, we actually find this very discussion elsewhere, and the names are reversed. It's not. We have a Mishnah, Marchikin HaSa'ilam in Aboyer, Esrim V'chamesh Amma. So let's say your neighbor has a boyer, a pit in the ground, and the pit has, supporting walls, and you shouldn't be planting a tree nearby because the roots might interfere and weaken and eventually perhaps collapse the walls of that boyer. So what is the proper distance between tree and boyer? Says the Mishnah, Marchikin HaSa'ilam in Aboyer, you meant to keep away from his boyer, Esrim V'chamesh Amma, 25 Amma gap between your tree and his boyers. The roots don't damage his boyer. Ubehorav v'shikma, if you have these trees which are very substantially sized, and Rashi says they have extra long and significant roots, so these really spread even more than your standard tree. Chamishim Amma, you have to keep 50 Amma away. Beim Milamala, whether the boyer is higher up on the grade, Beim Ratzad, whether the boyer and the tree are on the same level, we have the same halachis, keep away. Im Bar Kadam, now, if the boyer preceded the tree, Kaitzeit V'Nosin Damim, so once you planted the tree, that tree is slated for removal. Your neighbor can force you to chop it down, and actually, he'll pay you for it. That's the halacha. But if the tree came first, lo yakutz, he can't force you to chop the tree. Safek zekadam. Safek zekadam. Let's say we're not sure what the sequence of events was. Was it the tree first? Was it the boyer first? Lo yakutz, he can't chop it off. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, either way, even if the boyer came here first, lo yakutz, he can't force him to cut. Look, be my guest. Plant your you're allowed to make your boyer there, and Shimon can plant the tree in his property. Why? Alma kasavar, Alma Rabbi Yosi savar. So clearly, Rabbi Yosi holds that when there's an issue of potential damage, who must protect himself? Alan Isaac, lachigas atzmai, the potential victim should keep away. He's the one that has to protect himself, so it's his responsibility to protect himself from harm. V'rabbanon savri, in contrast to the Rabbanon, who hold no, you're causing trouble. Alam mazik, lachik is atzmai, the perpetrator, the one that's potentially creating the havoc and damage, he has to keep himself away from the potential victim. So this is exactly the opposite of the way we're proposing to explain their discussion in our Mishnah, right? Because over there it's clear that Rabbi Yosi holds responsibility falls upon the victim. Chachamim say it's the mazik who has to keep away, whereas in our Mishnah we're proposing that it's exactly the other way around. Elok ikala meimar pligi. Says the Gemara, you're right. If there's any way to tie the machlikas Ami Roim, right, discussed earlier regarding who has to take care of the damage in the ceiling, right? Who has to plug the leak, right? That was the Machlokes Amoraim before. So Beplukta the Rabbi Yosef Rabbanon the Hasan Kumiflagi. That certainly can be tied into the Machlokes Rabbi Yosef Rabbanon over there by the tree, which we just discussed. Meaning, the one who puts responsibility upon the guy washing his hands, right, causing the problem, he's going like the Rabbanon, that the Mazik must take care to protect the victim, and the other sheet which says, well, the fellow down below, he has to put up the waterproofing material, he's going like Rabbi Yosi, who says Allah Nizak, it's upon the Nizak to protect himself. Okay, that's it's a pretty well lined up matchup, right? But that still has not yet explained our machlokes Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanan in our Mishnah. So in our discussion, in our Mishnah, we have a question between an issue between a landlord and a tenant, right? And we have the ceiling coming apart, Tanakhama says, well, the landlord down below, he has to pay for the whole thing. And Rabbi Yossi says, actually, it's the landlord is going to pay for the support, for the beams, but the fellow up above, the tenant, will pay for the flooring material. So, the Gemara now is sort of switching tracks. We thought that it has to do with that discovery. It had Shaila about Mazik and Nizik, water dripping down. No, it has nothing to do, it's unrelated. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbanon, the Hachab, my plea, what's the point of Machlekes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon in our Mishnah? Answer is like this. It's unrelated to water and leakage and damages. B'choizek tikra kemifligi. So what happens like this. The fellow down on the main floor is not complaining. He's okay. There's no issue. He doesn't care about the leaks. Okay? It's the fellow on the floor, on the second floor, is complaining. He says, look, my floorboards are moving around. I need the reinforcement. You got to put some, plaster to keep it down, keep it smooth, right? Keep it in place. Otherwise, it's going to flip and I'm going to end up on bottom. Right? So the question is how to deal with the ma'aziva part, right? That's the sort of the upper, plaster, whatever, that they smear on top of the floorboards, on top of the beams, to keep things smooth and reinforced. So that's been damaged. Who's responsible for that? Rabbanan Sabri, ma'aziva achzuki tikrahu v'achzuki tikra latachtoin boy lachzuki. Rabbanan say, look, The maziva is meant to reinforce the ceiling, the floor. And who has to do that? That's the landlord has to provide for a proper ceiling. Otherwise, the fellow walking on top is going to end up tripping and falling down. The point of the maziva is primarily it's meant to smooth the floor out, to make for a pleasant walking experience. Okay, if you want that, Mr. Tenant, pay for it. To smooth out the pits and ala elyon la shvuy. He wants to smooth out imperfections. He wants a nice, smooth floor. The alien, the upper fellow, has got to pay for that. Okay? So, bottom line, we have two separate discussions here. One pertains to a question of mazik and nizik. There's water dripping down. There's a concern. Who has to pay for that? So that's a machlekes, which pertains to the case of the tree as well. A mazik, the nizik, machlekes, reis rabbanan, and correspondingly we have machlekes amarim as well. And now, Mishnah, we're not discussing mazik and nizik. We're discussing who has to maintain the floor. Is it considered structural? Is it considered cosmetic? And that's the machlokes. Eini says, the Gemara, how can you tell me that when there is an issue of water leakage, right? So, according to Rabbi Yossi, we say the nizak has to cover himself. The fellow below has to plug the leak. The fellow on top is not responsible for washing his hands over the other fellow's head. Really? Eini, va'amra va'ashir. Rashi says, ki avina b'rav kahana, when it was b'rav kahana, v'armina, we still say like this. Ma'idu Rabbi Yossi begir delay. Even Rabbi Yossi, who says that typically the nizik has to protect himself, but that's only when the mazik is sort of causing. There's causation going on. There's a tree being planted, which eventually spreads roots, which that's a gerama, right? So we say, okay, at the time I didn't do anything. I just planted a tree, innocently planted a tree. I'm not responsible for any subsequent damage. You have to worry about yourself. But gear delay, if it's a straight arrow, I'm shooting an arrow, of course I'm responsible for that damage. So I wash my hands and I throw my water down on you. Of course that's a problem. Even according to Rabbi Yossi. How can they get away from that? Answer is the more the Paski Maya was speaking that the water didn't go directly down below. It's not a straight gush. It sort of hit the ground, water enough, and then it drips down. So it's still going to be an indirect type of thing. In which case, Rabbi Yossi maintains that the Nizak, the fellow down below, has to protect himself. Says the Mishnah, Habayis, Valiyo, Shoshnayim, Shenaflu. Now, in this Mishnah, we shift from landlord-tenant issues to partners, two people that happen to own one structure. There's a bayis, a main floor, and there's an aliyah, an upper floor above it. The building collapsed. Amar bala aliyah lebala bayis. Shimon, living upstairs, tells the fellow from downstairs, look, let's rebuild the house, live in it. When he writes to live in it, the fellow's not interested. He's not up to rebuilding the house. He has another place to live. But the bala aliyah, Shimon, living upstairs, needs a place to live. Now, he can't have a second floor without a main floor. What does he do? He's stuck. Says the Mishnah, Harei, Baal Ha'aliyah, Boines Habayis. So Shimon from upstairs, you know what he does? He rebuilds the first floor. Vidar B'secha, and he moves in. He builds just one floor, moves in. Now he has a place to live. Ad, Sheet and Loi Esitzi Aisa. And this happens, this goes on until Reuven compensates him for his expenses. Once he gets compensated, once he gets reimbursed for his construction expenses, he goes ahead and adds his second floor on top of Reuven's first floor. Rabbi Da'imer, no, this is incorrect. Af zeh dar b'teich shel chaveiro. Even in this case, since he's actually dwelling, he's residing in his friend's property, ultimately, the main floor will belong to Reuven when he pays up for it. So technically, Shimon has now lived rent-free in Reuven's property. Right? Now, although Reuven wasn't really losing much on the deal, he wasn't holding by building anyways, but Shimon has hano, he's zenehene, right? He has hano, v'zelechaser, despite the fact that Reuven has no expense. He's not losing anything, but that's inappropriate, and it's considered as though Shimon got a monetary benefit from Reuven. Ultimately, it's like ribbis, because it's like he lent him the money. Now he's repaying him for building his house, and on top of that, he also lived there rent-free. Tzorech lahalos le'sachar, so he really should be paying him rent. So this is inappropriate. Ella, rather, the correct way is, ba'al aliyah boyd nes habayis v'saliyah. Shimon, who's the fellow upstairs, should be building the entire structure. He should rebuild the main floor and the upper floor. Right? U'mekares al-yoin, and he puts the roof on top of the upstairs. It's all done. And now, there's no issue. Because he doesn't really have any benefit from living downstairs. Right? Because he can just go upstairs. But he's going to sort of force the Baal HaBayis to pay him up by sitting in the house until he pays him up. Right? The Yeshua HaBayis, he lives downstairs, Achi Tenloi Esitziyosi, until he gets reimbursed for his expenses. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yechon B'Shloisha Makomos, we find a total of three locations, three halachis, that sort of all converge into this point. Shana Lana Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda teaches us the same point. Asher la'adam shiyene, mimam chaveru. One is not allowed to benefit off the other person's property or possessions, even in a case where the other fellow is not losing a penny. Like in our Mishnah, there's zen nehene, he has a na on one side, but on the other side there's no loss involved. Still, you can't do that until you pay him. It's asher. So what are the three places? Chada, first place is right here, hadisnan. Idach, what's the other place? Ma'idisnan. Nisn tzemer la'tzaba. So you give raw wool material to a tzaba, to a fellow who dyes the material, and you intend on making yourself a nice red piece of material. It's bayli adam. V'tzava yishachar, turn it black. Or you asked him for shachar, for black, v'tzava yadam, he did it red. What happens now? Rameir, ayimer nesan loid made simroi, the craftsman just pays him for his raw material, and he keeps the finished product. Rabbi Yehuda, ayimer, no. I think what is assuming, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the craftsman is benefiting from this whole story because there was effort involved in buying the material, getting the wool, all that. So it's unfair for us to do that. Rather, we have to pay him some reasonable fair amount. So this raw material is now turned into some sort of colored, right, finished product, right? So there are two elements to discuss. Shvach, increase in value, how much did it increase? And there's haitza, his expenses, his effort, right? So he gets the lesser of the two amounts. Ima shvach yaser al haitza. If the shvach is greater than the expenses, noisn lo hayitzia. So you're paying for his expenses and you're done. Vim haitza yaser al shvach. And if the expenses are greater in number, greater than the actual increase in value, no, it's not a shvach, you give him the shvach, and that's it. And then and that's his pay. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, the craftsman has to return the material to you. He can't benefit from your work, from your, right? That's not fair, right? Rather, you give it to the customer, and he gives you, the lesser of the two amounts. So again, we see that one may not live off the other person's, money or possessions. Once again, we see the same point. V'idach, and finally, the third case is as follows. Ma'i, that's not. Mishapar miktas chayvoy. So Shimon borrowed $1 million from Reuven, and he paid off part of it. Now, the problem is that in the loan document, it says a million. He doesn't want Reuven to hold on to that document, which will empower him to collect a million, right? So what do you do? So he takes the shtar and gives it to a third party, a trusted fellow. Vamarloi, and the borrower tells the third party, Im ein ani. He tells the lender, Im ein ani nois nocha mekan v'atman pleni. If I don't pay you in full from now until, you know, until 30 days, tein lo yishtari. So he's speaking to the third party, right? If I don't pay up, then give him the entire document back and empower him to collect the full amount. So he's sort of like penalizing himself. And what happens? He gives manu lenosan. 30 days arrive and he hasn't paid up. Does the third party carry out this threat? Rabbi Yisi Omer Yitin, yeah, he should give Reuven the shtar and have him collect $1 million from Shimon. Rabbi Yisi Omer Yitin, he shouldn't do it. It's unfair. Fact is, he doesn't really deserve to collect the full amount. So bottom line, we see in all three cases, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about protecting a person's possessions, and we don't allow any hana'ah that's unjustified. Says the Gemara, no, who says it's related to this point? You're making this sort of common denominator, which is found in all three cases, right? No, perhaps all three halachas are based on three separate rationales, which is unrelated to this point. Amai dilma ad kan lekan Rabbi Dahacha. Perhaps if Reuven has ano and Shimon doesn't have any loss, perhaps that's not called stealing. Rather, in our case, in our mission, the reason why we don't allow Shimon to live downstairs in this partially constructed home, dilma ad kan lekan Rabbi Dahacha, it's only because Reuven, the Balabais, is going to suffer from this because it's going to be wear and tear. He's going to stain the walls, right? El b'shem deikah shachrusa, lashon of the blackening of the wall. So there is chaser, he's losing. It's not just, why not give it to him? Inami. Likewise, in the case of the fellow who died at the wrong color. Litzbo'elei adam, v'tzavei shachar. The reason why. In that case, we don't just allow the craftsman to walk away, you know, scot. It's because, look, he did something terribly wrong. He was told to, he took raw material, it might be red, he made it black. I mean, it's terrible. We shouldn't become a shana. V'atanan, we have a mishnah, call him a shana. If you change the terms of your deal, yodel atachtoini, you lose out. And likewise, in the third case, the mishnah par mitzvah schayv, the fellow who paid partially, nami yavas smachta, the reason why. You can't give the full shtar back to the, because it's an asmachta. It was an exaggerated promise. If I don't pay you, I'll give it back to him, right? V'shaminilei, the Rabbi Yehuda, amalei kani, Rabbi Yehuda holds. Asmachta is not a commitment. So perhaps these are the reasons for these halachis, unlike what we thought. Okay, back to our story. We have a bias, and on top of it, an aliyah, a collapse, and they would like to rebuild it. Amar av achabar adam shmei de'ula. Suppose the walls were made of stone, 5 tefach in width. So, you know, medium-sized stones. And he wants to, the fellow on bottom wants to increase the size. He wants to use gvil. Gvil is a bit wider stones, 6 tefach in size. Rashi brings the Gemara in Bava Basra because it has these corners, it's a little bit jagged on the edges, so it's a bit bigger. He can do that because he's actually providing better support for the second floor. Bigger foundation, right? A more hefty first floor is even better than before. So we accept that proposal. But if he wants to downgrade, he wants to make it a thinner wall, he wants to go from a 6 tefach wall to gazes, which is more chipped stones, smaller than 6. Ain't shemiloi, we don't allow it. Big kfisin shemiloi. Likewise, if they were going to use bricks, if he goes from levanim to kfisin, levanim are these bricks, 3 tefach in width, and kvisin are 2 halves, each one is 1 half, and they put a tefach of cement, a total of 4. A wall of 4 tefach in width, that's even better than before. Shemiloi, that's okay. But levanim and shemiloi, if he wants to go down to 3 from 4, you don't accept that. Because now the building is weaker. Losachach bar rosin. Okay, in terms of the roof material, the ceiling material, if he wants to switch from shikma, which is a lower grade wood, to arazim, to cedars? Sure, shemilei, perfect. Bishkamim, in shemilei, if he wants to go from cedars to shikma, which is weaker, no, we don't accept that. Lamad b'chaloyin, shemilei, he wants to decrease the number of windows down the first floor, sure, great. Stronger walls, shemilei, perfect. Lagal harbis b'chaloyin, he wants to increase the number of windows from before, ein shemilei. Lagbiya, if he wants to make a higher first floor, ein shemilei. A, because now you're increasing the distance, he has to climb higher to get to the second floor. Secondly, it's a weaker wall. No, we don't accept that. Lamai Shemli, if he wants to go lower than before, that's fine. Elyon Shabal Shanis. And likewise, on the flip side, the fellow up a stairs wants to modify the building material from the way it previously was. So there, it goes the other way around. The lighter, the weaker, right, the less load he's going to put on the first floor, the better, right? Shabbat L'Shanis B'Gazes wants to go from a 6 tefach stone to a 5 tefach stone, great, Shemile. B'Gvil, and Shemile, he wants to upgrade to Gvil, no. B'Kvis, and Shemile, he wants to go up to wider bricks, no. Right? To the 4 tefach brick wall, no. B'Levein, and Shemile, wants to go from 4 to 3, fine. B'Arazim, and Shemile, wants to go up to heavier cedars, no. B'shikma Shemilei, wants to go down to Shikma, great. L'rabbis b'chalonis Shemilei, wants to increase the windows and lighten the load, sure. L'mad b'chalonis en Shemilei, wants to go decrease the window number, no. L'gbiya en Shemilei, wants to build a higher second floor, no. L'mad Shemilei, wants to go shorter than the past, great. One more halacha. En loy lezev loy lezemai. So the Mishnah we discussed where Shimon wants to rebuild, Reuven doesn't. Let's say they both not able to rebuild. Who is the property beneath this jointly owned house belong to? Tanya, Rav Nosson Omer, Tachtei Noitach Shtei Chalokim, Ve'elyon Shlish, Reuven on bottom gets 2/3 of the property value, and Shimon gets 1/3. Achir Omer, there's another Shita, Tachtei Noitach Shtei Chalokim, Ve'elyon Noitach Raviyah, Reuven on bottom gets 3/4 of the property, and Shimon 1/4. Amar Rabba, Nekoit, Rav Nosson Biyotcha, adopt Rav Nosson's opinion, the Dayanu, he's a Dayan, a renowned, respected Dayan, he's an Abbezn, Ve'nochas Lomkadadino, he delved into the depth of the Halacha, and he's right on. Why? How does he get this formula that the Tachton gets 2/3 of the property and the Elyon 1/3? Because Sover, he holds like this. Kama mafsid aliyah b'bayis, tilsa. A house with a second floor, right, is certainly weaker than a house without a second floor. That added wear and tear, that extra weight, takes away 1/3 of the longevity of the house, right? It's going to last 1/3 less than otherwise. So Hilkach is a Tilsa. So it turns out that Shimon on the second floor, really, he owns sort of 1/3 of the property. He has a schus, which amounts to 1/3 of the overall value of the area. So that's how we get to this formula. Reuben on bottom gets 2/3 of the property, and Shimon is entitled to 1/3 and no more. Okay, bottom line, we have a Mishnah with an Elyon and a Tachton. The first Mishnah we discussed, a landlord versus a tenant. We discussed a mazik and a nizik with water, without water. We discussed the next Mishnah where the house collapsed. Question of rebuilding it, how to proceed with an uncooperative partner. We discussed regarding changing and modifying building material. And ultimately, who does the property belong to? All the best to you and Hatzlacha.